You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and the planet. Starring the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. I'm your co-host and executive producer, Scott Patton. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
It's a wonderful day, Scott. Thank you very much. We are heading into the last stretch of 2011, and things are heating up. I don't know if it's for real, but I think that the all-predicted 2012 rebirth of the planet, the Mayan calendar, I don't know what that inflection point is. Maybe it truly is just a passageway from this side to the other side, but I feel its pull. I am just so, I don't know what to say. Intensity of everything that's going on in my life is up. So I'm on. I'm on all cylinders, however many God gave me.
Awesome. It sounds like you've been taking some Ormus.
Oh, I feel so enormous, it's not even funny.
Joining us today is the founder of the Ohm Haven Ranch, David Pilz. Hey, David, how are you doing?
Hey, Scott. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I want to just jump right in because last time we talked about ancient tobacco seeds, and yeah. I was at a conference about a month ago, and I helped somebody there with some problems that they had, and he gave me a pen, and it turns out that it was a pen that he made himself. He didn't make all of the parts, but he certainly made the body of the pen, which was from the horn of a caribou. Now, the caribou he found up in Alaska in a national park, which I hope is not a problem saying that because he pulled it out of the national park. But anyway, 8 people in the world go to this national park annually. So in other words, it is so out there and obscure and remote that nobody bothers. And so he's walking along. He comes across this swamp. Peat swamp, and in it there's this dead caribou. So he kind of pulls it out, takes the horns, and he goes to a lab and he says, "Tell me how old this caribou horn is," because the caribou didn't look particularly decomposed. And they told him that it was 30,000 years old.
30,000 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
Peat moss cut off all the oxygen and everything, and it preserved the caribou perfectly until he disturbed it. And so I have a pen that is made from the horn of a 30,000-year-old caribou, and the horn looks like it's like, you know, like today's caribou walking around sort of thing. And so it's amazing to me how things can survive for huge numbers of years. And we have an opportunity then to see, you know, what was it like 30,000 years ago or 1,000 years ago or 100,000 years ago. And sometimes it's pretty much the same. Caribou hasn't changed that much in 30,000 years.
Well, yeah, the guy was able to look at this critter in the mud.
Knew what it was.
Caribou, right, you know?
Yeah.
So that critter hasn't changed a whole lot then in that 30,000 years, you know?
No. But there are things that that we've changed, and of course Monsanto and seeds come to mind, and tobacco also comes to mind because it's, you know, if you want to be a pariah in today's society, just smoke a cigarette, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
But there were uses of tobacco in other cultures, and I would suspect other. If you took the tobacco we have today and compared it, it would be significantly different in many ways. And so it's interesting when you and I have talked and you said, well, you know, there were these old tobacco seeds that they found, and I really wanted you to share that with everybody.
For sure. And, I guess I might as well just jump in and share a bit. Here at Ohm Haven Ranch, we've been known as a heritage seed bank pretty much from the onset. We really believe in the heritage seeds. And I'm not anti anything, including Monsanto. I don't know him well enough to be anti him. But I got to tell you, I just like so many other people, I look around the planet. And even, you know, that sacred cigarette that you put in your mouth, you know, to become that pariah, is not tobacco anymore, you know? It's been changed and shifted and, you know, made into something that it was not. Many cultures around the world talk very clearly about, you know, there being four sacred herbs that showed up on this planet with us. And one of them, of course, is tobacco, one of the original sacred plants. And these days, what we're, you know, kind of shelling out to people and getting them addicted on is not that original tobacco. Fascinating stuff. I've read books that talk very much about if you are in the presence, just in the presence of a growing tobacco plant, it emanates a frequency that stimulates neurological input and output. So in other words, just hanging around growing tobacco can make you smarter. You know, fascinating stuff. You know? And, you know, let me explain to those people out there, maybe in layman terms, what's going on with Monsanto and that dynamic. The problem that they were experiencing was that they could not copyright a seed that God made. You know, God, Creator, Allah, insert your own belief system. But they could not copyright that seed, that original tobacco seed, for example. But what they could do was take that seed into a laboratory and change it, switch it around, change it up, mix it up, and actually create something that's not quite a tobacco seed anymore so that they could copyright that. And, of course, where we're headed here, I mean, in the long run, is complete control of the food industry in the dynamic of you can only grow a hybrid plant, and I mean, from a hybrid seed, and wouldn't you know it, you can only get those hybrid seeds from us, right, you know?
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, it sounds corrupt and evil and all sorts of stuff, and that's only because it is, you know? But the bottom line is that this is kind of where that's going, you know? And there's all sorts of hoopla and arguments and, you know, distractions and detractors, I mean, basically trying to make it something else. But it does boil down to controlling the food industry. And, again, without any paranoia, but specifically geared towards self-sustainability. I want to be able to look after myself. I don't want to have to go to Monsanto, you know, to be able to grow my tomatoes, you know. And I want to be able to grow a tomato that's a tomato. I don't know if you've heard, but they're crossbred tomatoes with fish, so they have a longer shelf life, you know, and that's ridiculous to me. That takes us into a whole other conversation. So anyway, right. We've been doing some really good work and, you know, kind of growing out these seeds and making sure they're alive and keeping them going, even in spite of some of the laws that have passed that kind of frown upon us being able to do that or us doing that in the first place. And because of kind of where we stand and, of course, the, you know, the spiritual path that I walk and such, we've made some friends out there. And the seeds that I ended up getting came out of the pouch that came off the hip of a guy who up until recently was frozen in the ice caps up there in northern Alaska. Now, I've heard of other finds of tobacco and other plants, like the ancient maize has also come back. There's so many of these old seeds, these old plants that are actually coming back to life. It's fascinating to witness, in, even in retrospect, with, you know, Martin mentioning the 2012 phenomena and all of that taking place. There's something weird going on this planet. So these seeds show up. What's fascinating is that not so far away from this guy where they found this pouch and these seeds, they also find a mammoth. And that mammoth was flash frozen so quickly that it still had food in its mouth. Like that's fascinating all by itself, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
What could happen so fast and so big to freeze a mammoth with food still in its mouth, right, you know? Like, that's awesome. I mean, I got to tell you, if I ever give up being, you know, the oracle and the spiritual guru guy, I want to be on that team, exploring what the heck happened.
I actually, David, I actually have some interesting science research from all of that, and if you want to talk about it, I need somebody from out there of our listeners to write to us or call us and tell us, oh, yes, we want to know what happened 13,000 years ago. I could definitely go on a sidebar. It's just not on our main topic.
Okay, cool. Let's do it, Martin. Oh, I love this. Someday. This great stuff, you know? So anyway, some of those seeds, those tobacco seeds, it did end up in the hands of a UBC scientist. And that UBC scientist decided to spread it around just in various locations to different places that, well, straight up is that they really don't know exactly how old these seeds are. But I'll bet you dates like 30,000 years is not, you know, such a far cry from the truth. And so what they did was they spread them around. a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit over there, different growers, different growing environments, you know, different places, just to see, you know, I mean, if we can actually get some life out of these seeds. The problem is ultimately is that, you know, if you freeze a seed, it does stay fresh for, you know, X amount of time, but who's to say that something's going to be able to grow after being frozen for that many years, you know? Nine times out of ten, the seeds just become so shocked and so empty of life that they just don't work. Now, in order to retain a seed for that long, and again, as we are retaining these heritage seeds, we realize that you cannot completely dry a seed. As long as it has a little tiny bit of moisture in it, you could probably keep it indefinitely. So this was the hope. What they were finding, though, is that they weren't having much success in actually getting them to come about to grow and what have you. So they decided, what the heck, let's scatter these to the wind and put these in the hands of, you know, some of the other growers that are out there and see what happens. And I'm very, very proud to say that we're one of, I mean, two people that got, you know, this particular blend to grow. Now, in the past, we had the other fellow that I will mention is, of course, David Wolf. He managed to get some tobacco seeds to grow as well. And I'm very, very proud to say that, both of us used Ormus fertilizer in order to accomplish that end. And again, what Ormus fertilizer does is it gives that seed all the life on steroids that it needs. You know, it's not just super fuel for people, it's super fuel for everything and anything that it encounters. And so we actually got four plants. We got four plants this last year off of it, and we're very excited about it. It's the first time that this species has been on the planet for, again, who knows how long. We can even now send back some of that plant to the UBC people, and they can do some further investigation on it and maybe even get us some more information and some more answers. It's fascinating, of course, because I'm torn between, of course, the scientific part of my left brain and the spiritual part of my right brain, because, of course, a big part of me believes completely that, you know, prayer was a part of what enabled that seed to, you know, to kind of come back. There are a number of indigenous people who've, you know, also come to visit those plants, you know, while they were growing, and, of course, to pick up some seeds while they're at it, but that recognize, you know, tobacco is actually translates, you know, pinipini into meaning, you know, the first one, the leader of it actually talks about tobacco being not just used for truth and used for exchange and all these things, but it also signifies, it's the message from the plant people, if you like, that definitely all these old species, all these old things are now going to start coming back, and including all the teachings that come along with it. This might fascinate you, Scott. Some of the indigenous people here in Canada actually don't actually recognize the exchange of tobacco in the same way that it's become culturally accepted. So many of them believe that tobacco, just like some of the sun dances, actually came from someplace else, and this was kind of an adaptation. And now it's become kind of a general accepted, you know, kind of tradition amongst the indigenous people, but it's not necessarily indigenous to all areas and all places. Which is fascinating too, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, that's very, very interesting.
I actually have a sidebar I would like to put in here, and that's this. Nicotine in the tobacco plant and niacin, which is known as also nicotinamide and vitamin B3, are essentially the same thing or are so similar as to be indistinguishable in your body. So I don't know if you remember, I certainly did in the 1980s when the book Mega Vitamins, no, Life Extension, I forget now what it's called, darn it, a book came out that was advocating mega vitamin therapy. So I was experimenting with that, and in the process of it, I took fairly large doses of niacin. When you do, you get this release, this rush, this reaction where you get all kind of redness on your chest and on your face and all of that. And of course, it looks the same as the kind of body reaction you get during sexual arousal. And so, of course, people have been using this supplement to enhance their experience during their sexual behaviors. So of course I played with that, and truly it is quite enhancing.
Wow.
So there's this link between what we understand about what we understand about. Okay, great. Go ahead.
I was just making a joke. Just when I played with Nyssen for the first time, it was given to me by an attractive nurse, and it sounds like she ran away too fast. <I'm
sorry. laughs> Okay. Well, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so there must be some connection between what happens in the human body when we ingest a concentrated vitamin B3, or what happens when we chew a tobacco leaf, and how it affects us, and how it enhances our experience.
Absolutely. Fascinating.
So I think it's a good thing, and the only bad thing about tobacco is that it's...
what's all the crap they put in it?
Yeah, it's mixed with things that because the tobacco by itself, if you light a tobacco that's not been treated, the cigarette will go out.
I agree.
Doesn't continue burning.
And of course, to be honest, I've actually got a death alert allergy towards commercial made tobacco. Like, all it really takes is for someone to light up in my space, and I'm sorry about getting further making you a pariah, but. All it takes is for someone to light up in my space, and my nose plugs up, and I have an immediate physiological response to it. And yet, I can smoke this natural tobacco, no problems, no physiological response, no negative energy in any way, shape, or form. As a matter of fact, if there's anything that comes with it, there is definitely a mind or a brain stimulus. I mean, it's not getting me high, per se, but it certainly does trigger some very interesting responses from my brain. And it does take me into, or at least further encourages me to step into that alpha state and that theta state, that meditative state, So there really is something definitely in the commercial tobacco that's not good for people, certainly not good for me, whereas the natural stuff is a completely different ballgame,
Interesting.
Yeah, I know a good number of people that have a similar reaction, my wife being one of them, especially some brands of cigarettes just completely set her off. We have gone to public places. Somebody would light up, and we just have to leave.
Just
leave. She says, "Look, if I stay in this long enough, I'll get a migraine. Why would I want to stay?"
Yeah, I've actually had operations to remove. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like those gills we have inside our nose. Because, of course, it would get so inflamed and so tight that, of course, those migraines were, literally within a minute of me being exposed to it. And it was either everybody else on the planet quit smoking it or I had to do something myself. So I opted to go into the operation and have parts of my body removed just so I could cope in today's, society with it,
So, David...
I know my story is not alone. I don't want to, again, make this about an anti-tobacco dynamic. But certainly anything that's harmful to somebody, and again, many somebodies, there's got to be something not quite right there,
Right. David, so would you say that chewing the leaves would be every bit as healthful as smoking it?
I'm going to have to get back to you on that. Interestingly enough, one of the things I know that we also want to discuss today, was alternative ways of getting ormus into your body.
Yes.
And as we know, one of the best ways, bar none, is to smoke it. Use ormus to grow those herbs that you're going to be smoking. And, I know there's lots of BC agriculturists out there right now. They're going, but the bottom line is that I don't care if you're growing that or, lavender or tobacco or mullein, or there are so many other medicinal herbs, including that master medicine herb. But there are so many medicinal herbs out there that would extremely benefit from, using the ormus fertilizer to grow it. I assume it has something to do, and of course, Martin, maybe you can, kind of direct me here, but I assume it has something to do with you change the molecular structure of the ormus one more time when you apply that much heat to it. You certainly turn it into a smoke, and yes, of course, nine times, I mean, we know that inhaling any kind of smoke into your body creates a little bit of negative, you know, the tar and, you know, the reactions from the body. But the advantage of smoking something is that when you bring that smoke into your body, the very thin membrane on top of your mouth, it allows so much of the chemical compounds of whatever is in that smoke to be absorbed directly to the brain. And, of course, the soft tissues and the lungs, you know, are going to capture all of that and process it through the body as well and all of that. So I can easily see where, you know, certainly smoking an ormus product would be a favorable way of getting it into your body. The second thing...
Well, let me do two things, David, here. I would definitely like to make a commercial announcement here, which is in the Om Mana products, we have a gallon of the Om Heaven fertilizer for only $110. So that's a fantastic value.
That's a concentrated value too. Like the gallon, the 4-liter jug that we're actually putting out there for the fertilizer, we're actually encouraging people to actually take one cup of that and mix it to a 1 gallon of water. Like, please keep in mind that all the Om Mana stuff that we're shipping out there is completely concentrated. It's completely Ormus gold. Like it's so we're not breaking it down. I know some of the industry standards, I mean, they make them put up to, you know, a minimum, sorry, of 15%. So you kind of buyer beware out there, whereas all the Om Mana stuff that gets put out there is kind of concentrated, and it's just raw, you know, product itself. Even the water that we use, you know, in the process is saturated with Ormus. So we're at 100% there. So they can actually take one cup of that 4-liter and mix it into a jug and get an amazing, powerful fertilizer that's not only going to produce 10 times their crop, I mean, and I'm not kidding, 10 times their crop, but they're also going to produce something that is way more valuable, has way more trace elements, has way more, I mean, all those things. And if it has the ability to bring back an ancient seed, I'll bet you it's kind of a no-brainer for any gardener out there in being able to grow something with this, you know?
So I would like to propose a test here. Would you be able to spare some of the seeds to people that will buy some of it from us?
Okay, I'll tell you what, I won't sell it, but what I would be willing to do is definitely, for those people who are interested, you know, pass them along. I feel very, very strongly about, especially these seeds, about, you know, not selling it, not stepping into that dynamic, but absolutely, if somebody's ordering, you know, some Ormus and they, you know, they want a couple of seeds sent along, I'd be very happy to spread that out there, you know, pass it along the Moccasin Trail, so to speak, you know.
That's great. So what I'm going to announce here is that anybody who's buying a gallon of the fertilizer, of the Om Haven fertilizer, can also request some of these ancient seeds. Just understand what this is. This is a seed variety that was frozen for however many years, maybe 10, 12,000 years, somewhere in the north, and then this plant was reconstituted and grown. This was the first harvest of this of this tobacco, so it's about as fresh off the ancient plant as you can get.
Wow, where do I sign up? So, back to the Ormus consumption, and the second best way to get it into your body actually relates to the fertilizer as well, and that is to grow your carrots, grow your potatoes, grow all of your vegetables, all your fruits, all the food that you're going to be eating. You also want to grow it with the Ormus. And again, one crop production is way up. Like it produces way more yield than you'd ever anticipate, you know, of course, feeding into, you know, the reality that all the trace elements and all the minerals and stuff are now reaching that plant as well, so it can also reach its full potential. You know, it's you know, what really struck home to me as far as how much I'm missing in my life was, you know, when we grew some corn, for example, last year without the Ormus, you know, I had a corn plant, and it came up, and it was okay. But when I grew that exact same corn plant this year, with exactly the same seed strain, et cetera, with the Ormus, and it grew into this monster corn, it in front of my eyes, it really brought home a physical reality of what a difference this Ormus makes in life, you know? And for people, you know, I mean, because the plant was obvious, right? You know, and I'm not suggesting I'm going to grow 10 times bigger, but I might grow 10 times healthier, you know, maybe even 10 times smarter, 10 times whatever, you know. And that's, so certainly ingesting it into your body in that way is supposedly the second best way to ingest ormus. And the third best way, of course, is either to ingest it into your body via the, you know, drop under the tongue or potentially even topically. There's been a bunch of people out there who believe wholeheartedly that, you know, taking a bath, for example, in our what we call our spa water, has equally a profound effect on them as, you know, the one drop onto the tongue, right?
And the benefit. I totally agree. Actually, you could put it into the hot tubs instead of the other silly minerals. You don't have to use bromine. You could use this ormus bath treatment and prevent bacterial growth and at the same time get yourself supercharged that way. So the hot tub treatment, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And even just the bath. Like, we have so many people out there who, you know, again, we sell it in 1-liter containers and literally just take a cap or maybe two caps, you know, dump it into a bathtub full of water. And we've had some, I mean, profound and amazing, I mean, testimonials that have come back from people who, you know, they don't ingest it into their body orally, but they certainly take it topically. And then, of course, you can take that same product and, you know, throw it into your lotions and throw it into your sprays. We have one that, which we're doing now, where it is a spray. You spray it on your face twice a day. And, of course, the advantage to this is that it's, you know, an ultimate anti-wrinkle cream, right? It clears up blemishes. It will take away scars. It will, you know, take away so many of those wrinkles as well. As a matter of fact, we've even had some people purchase that spray and put it in their first aid kit because they were, just like you commented on one of the previous shows there, Scott, at how much of a difference it made in one of your cuts, you know?
Yeah.
And so we've got lots of people running around now with these sprays in their first aid kit because they know what a difference it makes immediately, you know? When you can spray the ormus on an open wound or something like that, not only does it kind of help, you know, clean it just a little bit, but of course it gives the cells back everything that it needs so that it can start healing immediately. You know, no waiting time whatsoever, right, you know? And, of course, when you can get to a cut right away and it starts to heal back right away, like this amazing mutant ability, if you like, you know, right before your very eyes, you know, you may not even need stitches. That wound may actually translate into something that can heal itself very quickly, you know. The longer you leave a wound, of course, the longer it takes, you know, to heal it back again afterwards. So if you can get to it right in that emergency scenario, in that emergency moment, and make a difference, then, again, you're presenting all sorts of potential, you know, wound growing, you know, later on, of course. So these are ultimately the third best ways, you know, to get it into your body. And I mean, I got to tell you, there's probably, you know, dozens of other ways, you know, for people to kind of do this. I like the hot tub idea. I actually haven't done that yet. but you know what? Hot tub, here we come. Oh, yeah, I'm in therapy. Thank you. You know, please bring me a hot toddy, right, you know?
Yeah, that sounds like a good way to take it. And, you know, and the interesting thing, too, about doing something like a hot tub is, and I think people forget about this, is it's a way to just relax. We're so stressed out and everything else, and this is like, well, you know, I'm in this tub of water. I'm, you know, can't get on my computer. I can't do my work. I can just sort of sit back and relax, and there's just huge benefit in doing that. And if you do it in an environment that's healthy as opposed to one that's full of chlorine and rotting your body, in my opinion, that's better.
I can only agree. I can only agree, sir.
So, go ahead.
I can also share with you that just here at Ohmhaven, like, again, because this ormus is in our water table, it saturates everything. I mean, so literally, on a good day in the, you know, middle of summer, you know, the grass is growing strong and the crops are growing and the berries are in full bloom. You got to imagine that the entire air, even the oxygen particle that's being emanated off of the plants, has got to be saturated with ormus as well, you know? And if you knew how many people, I mean, I've got to tell you, 99 out of 100 people who show up here at Ohmhaven, their first response is, wow, the energy here is amazing. I feel so comfortable. I feel so healthy. And, you know, yes, it's a farm. you know, and yes, there's lots of value, you know, to fresh air. We don't have the pollutants of the city. We can actually see the stars at night. You know, all of that. Our environment's very clean. But I got to suggest that there may be, even be some value with literally having it kind of bonding with the water molecule, sorry, the air molecule that's being put out by all the plants as well, you know. And, you know, even taking it one step further, our cows have been eating ormus hay. So even following the cow around behind, you know, the cow, that's ormus manure. That's got to have more value. That's got to have more of the whatever it is that's good in manure for you, you know. Just fascinating. So, again, saturating your entire environment with this stuff. Your houseplants are giving off oxygen and CO2, of course, on a regular basis. So just using this stuff generally in the environment can't be bad for you in any way, shape, or form. We're actually suggesting that those women and those people, but for some reason it's the women who like the anti-wrinkle stuff, we're actually suggesting that those women, when you soak in that bathtub, don't throw it out. You know, there's ormus in that water now. And what actually happens is that when you put ormus, an omana, into a bathtub, for example, if there's any naturally occurring ormus or orms in the water, it'll also stimulate those into becoming a little bit active too. So don't just drain that tub. Take that tub and use it to water your plants and use it to water your, you know, your pets and et cetera, and all that. So that, again, you can spread it all over the place, you know. Heck, even wash your floors with it. It can't hurt, you know. I mean, just having it in your space is not a bad thing, you know. More life is good, I would think. That's just, you know, a theory.
Well, one we adhere to at the Life Enthusiast Co-op for sure.
Yeah.
So, David, thank you very much for sharing with us. We've come kind of to the end of our time here today, and I was going to ask Martin my usual question. If somebody wanted to know more about the Omhaven Ormus products, how to get them, or just had some questions, what should they do?
Well, the website, www.life-enthusiast.com. Or phone us, 1-866-543-3388. And if you're listening to this, and if you're growing things, and if you're willing to make an experiment, get ready for the spring, buy yourself a gallon of the fertilizer, and by request only, you can request the special treat, the ancient tobacco seed. So if you have the rural setting and you're willing and able to do this, please don't waste it. Don't just be idle with it. I don't think you can grow a tobacco plant in a flower pot on a deck. I think you need to have a real garden to do it. But anyway, it grows really big. So anyway, request that. We'll be happy to work with you on that. And thank you very much, David. Thank you very much, Scott. For Life Enthusiast Co-op, we are restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Thank you for listening.